This is the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show, brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, Wells Fargo, Geico, Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue, and by Everbank. Now, to get things started, here's Cole Pepper.
The Jaguars close out a successful preseason 24-14 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Jaguars 3-1 on the year. Their only loss coming last week to Baltimore. But it's more important how they played and in what phases they played well than the numbers at the end. And we'll be talking about that quite a bit. First, let's get you updated on some of the other games going on around the National Football League. This final day of preseason action, a bunch of games scheduled here as the league tries to get everybody in the regular season mode. Philadelphia leading the Jets 28-10 with 2 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Here is all you need to know about the Jets' offense so far this year. No touchdowns in the preseason coming into tonight. They score a touchdown in the second quarter tonight with their third-string quarterback Greg McElroy at the helm. The Jets have some work to do offensively, it would appear, from what they did in the preseason. But an entertaining game if you wanted to have two, kind of a tale of two halves, not even halves, though. Detroit jumped out to a 28-7 lead. Matthew Stafford finding Calvin Johnson for an early score in that one. But Buffalo has come back, made it a one-point game in the fourth quarter after Michael Easley's 100-yard kickoff return for a score. It's 31-30 with the extra point coming up. They can tie the game with the extra point with the fourth quarter just getting underway. Green Bay, a 24-3 lead on Kansas City. Graham Harrell, the former Texas A&M quarterback, Texas Tech quarterback, working. He has a couple of touchdown passes in that ball game for the Packers. Of course, Aaron Rodgers not getting any work today for Green Bay. Houston not starting their regulars, but one guy who made his mark, Trindon Holliday, a 76-yard punt return for a score. It's the former LSU Tigers' third preseason touchdown on returns. And so looks like he will be creating some issues with the AFC South in the upcoming season, likely to make the team. Houston with a 28-24 lead over Minnesota at the end of three quarters. Also of note, those two teams are the first two opponents for the Jaguars. Jaguars will face the Vikings in the opener and then Houston in the home opener the following week. Cincinnati leads Indy 16-14. The regulars in this, not a whole lot of playing time. Andrew Luck threw just two passes. He was one of two for 8 yards. Then Drew Stanton threw just three passes. Andy Dalton was 3 of 4, left the game with a bruised arm, but afterwards in the locker room, reporters asking him, and he said he was doing okay. Bruce Gradkowski got the bulk of work along with Zach Robinson for the Bengals today. 16-14 Cincinnati leads in the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh and Carolina all tied up at 10 apiece. Big Ben not getting the start in this ball game. Charlie Batch did. He threw a touchdown pass. Jimmy Clausen's in right now for the Panthers. Cam Newton also didn't play in this ball game. So a number of teams not putting their starting quarterbacks in this final game of the preseason. Sam Bradford did get the start through 3 first-half touchdown passes and a 31-10 St. Louis lead over Baltimore. New Orleans trails at Tennessee 10-6. This game has featured largely field goals and a short touchdown run. Hasn't been much to look at in Nashville in that ball game. And the other game going on right now, Chicago leads Cleveland 21-10. The Browns giving it up. Gerald McCoy with a 15-yard interception return for a touchdown for the big defensive tackle who rambled in. And a 21-10 Chicago lead over Cleveland in the third quarter right now. About to get underway in the next 20 minutes. San Diego and San Francisco kickoff. Oakland and Seattle. And then later, Denver and Arizona. Final score with the Jaguars. A win tonight, 24-14 over the Atlanta Falcons. Marco Coleman, one of the things that I note here is that the second half of the final preseason game is all about guys trying to make plays to impress the GM and head coach to try to make the team, at worst, wind up on the practice squad. There are 75 players on this Jaguars active roster as of right now. They must pare it down to 53 plus 8 on the practice squad. Gene Smith's going to have some tough decisions to make here in this final cut.
Yeah, I'm looking at this roster. I mean, you're going to have to go. I tried to mark off some guys, man. I only got about 15 that I can see. Definitely not a lot of time, just strictly, you know, just couldn't see them making a team. So then you go in the guys that you know, they're not here, they'll probably be on somebody else's team.
Yeah, depth, and especially when you start talking about third-string depth, going to be some tough decisions. We'll talk about some of those decisions as we continue on here on our coverage with the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Again, the final cuts tomorrow, and then those decisions will be made on the practice squad to follow as well. Let's find out the mood in the locker room after the Jaguars' victorious 24-14 effort against the Atlanta Falcons. Jeff Loggeman standing by with the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report with the head coach, Mike Mularkey. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Cole. Here with head coach Mike Mularkey. And Mike, not the start that you would want, but certainly a nice finish to the game.
It was, you know, really a difficult start in all three phases. Their first play with the kickoff return, a missed block. Obviously, you can't fumble the ball on your own 14 and then you come out there and miss a tackle and score on their first play. But the thing I just told these guys was last week when we started slow, we never really got back into a groove. Tonight, I liked what we did. You know, even a 22-play drive, I'm not sure I'd have done some of the things I did, you know, with going for it there. I think I may have probably kicked a field goal. But I was just proud to see them respond and come back. And they would have put points on the board in a long drive, which is really a credit to them.
You have to feel good about what you've accomplished in the preseason. You were able to get three wins, wanting to establish an identity, and winning has got to be a part of that.
Well, the thing I'm most proud of, you look at this preseason game, this fourth preseason game, and the effort and the physical play was just absolutely amazing for me to stay on the sideline and watch these guys put that forth. You know, and a lot of guys are there worrying about jobs and trying to make this football team, but that's been consistent through the four games, and we'll have a chance if we play like that.
When you say physical, I mean over 200 yards rushing, you guys well over 170 a game in the preseason. You know, you said we're going to be a physical football team, and whether it been the ones or the twos, I mean, running the football was impressive.
That's important in this offense. We want to establish the run. It's, you know, it's a credit to our guys up front, especially being together really the first time the offensive line. But we got some beasts. Greg Jones coming from the backfield. Our wideouts are doing an outstanding job in the run game, and our backs are physical runners. I mean, if you get through all what I just mentioned, then you got to deal with our backs who are physical runners, and they're going to run you over.
This season is a little different because tomorrow night, less than 24 hours away, at 9 p.m. tomorrow night, you have to be down to 53, and unfortunately, a lot of guys' dreams are going to end.
That's the unfortunate. It's a process that's been going on since the dawn of time in this league. It's not my favorite part of the job. Some of these guys will make it. Some will hopefully have a chance to go and move on, and I don't want any of them to give up their dream if they think they can do it. You know, stay with it and just see what happens. But it's an unfortunate part of the game.
Priority always for game number four in the preseason, coming out healthy. It looked like Uche Nwaneri suffered an injury. But other than that, it looked like you guys stayed pretty healthy.
No, we were pretty clean. I'm not sure about Uche yet. We just, you know, precautionary, wanted to make sure that with this game, preseason game number four, the one's going to get limited reps. I just wanted to get him off the field.
Excited to get it going for real?
I think we all are. It's been a long process.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
All right, that's the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report. And as part of that, you heard the Brooks Rehabilitation Injury Update. More to come on Uche Nwaneri in the coming days. Jaguars win 24-14, finish the preseason 3-1. Hey, sip more, pay less. Any size premium roast coffee, soft drink, or sweet tea, just a buck at McDonald's. Any size, any day, anytime. McDonald's Chief Engineer Scott Kushner's loving it on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Let's go to the locker room. Jeff Loggeman standing by with Evan Britton.
All right, thank you, Brian. Evan, you guys got to feel good about where you're at with your rushing attack tonight. I think you corrected me. It was 225 yards rushing, and so it's going to put your average, you know, somewhere in the mid-170 to high-170 range for the preseason.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great feeling anytime. Hell, anytime you can get over 100 yards rushing in a game, that's a great game on the ground. But putting up 225 – That feels great as an offensive line.
It has to feel great, too, to get the last preseason game over with and get the real thing started.
Yeah, definitely. Preseason can be a grind, but we're ready to go, man. We're ready to rock and roll, and we're excited to get on to Minnesota.
There seems to be kind of a vibe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but talking to everybody and seeing it, I mean, things have changed. The culture seems to be a little different. People seem to be excited about where this team is going. Am I feeling it right? Am I seeing it right?
I think that's completely accurate. You know, everybody in the building is fired up about what we got going on here. Everybody in the locker room is fired up about it. We're doing a lot of great things. You know, we can't get it twisted, though. We got a lot of work ahead of us. But we're doing a lot of things really well right now, and we're on the rise, man. We're doing some great things.
Got a couple days off this weekend. Get back to work on Monday. Looking ahead to the Minnesota Vikings. You get a couple guys up front for the Vikings, Jared Allen, and a couple guys that have a last name that goes Williams.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a great test for us. You know, I'm excited to get back out there on Monday and just get it going.
Thank you, Evan.
Thanks, man.
All right, that's Evan Britton with Jeff Loggeman in the locker room. Time now for a final stats check brought to you by Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Jaguars numbers are all that we're really concerned about here. Jaguars roll up 450 yards of offense, 225 on the ground, and 225 through the air. How's that for balance? Boy, the head coach is going to love that one. Look at the quarterback. Well, let's take the rushing numbers for you. Keith Cochtin, 13 carries, 71 yards, 5.5 per carry average. Jalen Parmalee, 656, 9.3 in the touchdown. Richard Murphy, 1244, that's 3.7 and the touchdown. Rashad Jennings had 11 carries, and I'm pretty sure that's more than the staff wanted him to get. 34 yards, but he had a sixth run of longer than 10 yards this preseason. Looking at the passing game, Blaine Gabbert, 7 of 12, 64 yards, 72.9 passer rating. Chad Henne, 4 of 6, 106, the touchdown, the pick, 109.7. Jordan Palmer, 5 of 9 for 55 yards. The leading receiver was Kevin Elliott, 2 for 85 and a 77-yard touchdown. Let's check in with Jeff Loggeman once again with a member of the defense.
Here with Russell Allen. Russell, time to get the ball started for real, isn't it? Next week, Minnesota Vikings, and it's good to put the preseason in the rear window, so to speak.
Yeah, it is, man. We're all itching to play for real. There's no question about that. It's been a long, good, successful preseason for us, but now it's time to play.
How good does it feel to come back in year two with Mel Tucker completely at the helm and to really advance this defense?
Yeah, we feel really great about where we're at defensively. Just having a year to kind of get everything ironed out, all the there's really no gray in our defense. You know, everything's black and white. We know exactly what to do so we can just play fast.
Up front, in front of you specifically, there are five defensive tackles that look like they all can play, going all the way from Terrence Knighton and Tyson Alualu, C.J. Mosley, Jairus Pendleton, De'Anthony Smith, certainly a talented group. And as a linebacker, that has to make life feel pretty good.
Yeah, that's the greatest thing you could ever ask for as a linebacker. I mean, those guys are keeping us clean. They're holding their gaps, and we're allowing us to just do what we do and make plays. It's a dream come true for a linebacker.
Any opinion on who you might face this week against Minnesota? You know, they've got a running back there that there's some questions about whether he's going to play or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we'll prepare for him to play. He's a great player, but they really have two good players. I mean, the other guy's great too. So we'll prepare to get their best, and we'll be ready.
Thank you, Russell.
My pleasure.
It's Russell Allen of the defense. And if you're tired of defending what you pay for car insurance, you can call GEICO. You won't have to. Go to GEICO.com or call 800-947-AUTO for your free rate quote and see how much you could save. 24-14, Jaguars win it. And time for our Bud Play of the Game, brought to you by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. And you won't hear it again because it's a preseason play. But Kevin Elliott's a guy we've been talking a lot about around here. Big guy from Florida A&M. Doesn't hurt that he's dating Fred Taylor's sister. That always goes over big with Gene Smith. Well, not really, but we thought we'd mention it. And he caught a little slant from the 23-yard line. And, well, here's our Bud Play of the Game. Play action this time. Henne turns and fires, and he's got Elliott. He's across the 40-yard line, breaks a tackle. There he goes. He's going all the way. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kevin Elliott. I'm guessing he has a really good shot to make the team. Talented kid. Those are the plays you always remember from preseason game. And Kevin Elliott goes 77 yards. That's our Bud Play of the Game. Here we go. Into the regular season, getting ready for opening day a week from Sunday at the Metrodome in Minneapolis. Special thanks to J.P. Shadrick, our new sideline reporter. He was terrific in the preseason. Really appreciated all of the great interviews that he provided to us. T.J. Strike, great to have my man from the CW, local sales manager, now acting as a spotter. We certainly appreciate that. Our chief engineer, is he the chief engineer? Did I just give him a title? Don't give him any more money. Chief engineer Scott Kushner, great to have you. And for Jeff Loggeman, I will have to say that our boards were printed thanks to the good folks at CopyFax. They are terrific. Jason and Amy DeFore and their whole gang over there, guys, we really appreciate you. And the best producer on radio in the National Football League is, I heard that guy from Atlanta. No, it's Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen. Just throwing that one at you. We're going to send it to Cole and Marco, who I think are at least the second best postgame team in the NFL as well. All right, they're number one also. You guys, take it away after this break. You're listening to the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
We welcome you back. Winn-Dixie postgame show now from Jaguar Central. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here after the Jaguars wrap up the preseason with a 24-14 victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Finished 3-1 on the preseason, and now it's cutting roster time and getting ready for the regular season time just around the corner. Going to be interesting to see how some of that plays out. We'll talk about the roster decisions that are going to need to be made by Gene Smith and Mike Mularkey and company here in just a bit. But let's focus a little bit on the guys we know who are going to be here, Marco. And starting with the offense, not exactly what I would say would be the perfect way to gain momentum from the starting offense in terms of the way they finish things up. Just okay in terms of the numbers. Blaine Gabbert to 7 of 12 for 64 yards. Quarterback rating 72.9 in this ball game. Did have the fumble on the errant toss. Too many turnovers by the Jaguars offense in general, but I will say no interceptions by Gabbert in the preseason.
And that is the thing that I've been most impressed about. You can say anything you want about Gabbert, how he's maybe did a little better in the pocket about the rush and standing in there. I've been most impressed about his turnovers and lack thereof during the course of preseason. If he does that during the course of season, he gives the team the best chance to win. Not turn the ball over, you know, gives you the best chance to win, that's for sure.
All right, one of the things that you'd have to say was one of the focus points of the preseason was, will Justin Blackmon show you something that will prove one way or another that, hey, this is your guy? I haven't seen anything that suggests anything otherwise from him.
Definitely warranted the number five pick, that's for sure. I mean, I don't see how it will be any different during the preseason. You know, the regular season, just getting the ball to him a little bit more. That's pretty much that's my only suggestion.
Two catches, 16 yards today, a couple of short ones, had a 9-yarder and a 7-yarder. He's not the run down the field, run away from you wide receiver. Much more of a possession guy, intermediate routes, red zone, third down, which that's money time for a wide receiver.
You figure you get him a pass, 5 yards, gets it, and he's going to turn that into 15. You know, he's a yak guy. Mm-hmm. He catches the ball, very hard to bring down, strong hands. You know, if it's a battle for the ball, he's going to come up with it. And that's the thing that's been most impressive is his strength coming in as a rookie versus some serious veterans. I look back at that New Orleans game, that stiff arm against a very, talented linebacker where he mugged him. I mean, that's impressive. That was very impressive.
All right, so that's one wide receiver spot. The other wide receiver spot, LaRon Robinson, one catch today, two catches in the preseason. Does it worry you that he only had two catches for, 19 yards in the preseason?
No, what worries me is the lack of burst. I mean, the long ball that Blaine threw that they didn't connect on, it seemed like he stayed at the same speed. You see a lot of the really good wide receivers, when that ball's in the air, there's another gear that they find. And even on that fourth down play, on that inside route, he beat the guy inside, but there was no separation at that point in time. So that's the thing that I'm probably most concerned about with Robinson is his burst,
getting that separation. And what's surprising is that was the thing that was standing out to me earlier on. So I don't know if it's a matter of tired legs or getting banged up a little bit or if it's the coverages shaded his way, whatever else. He did have position, had the ball been thrown pinpoint, on that little slant down near the end zone on fourth down for the Jaguars, that would have been a touchdown. I mean, he had position. Mm-hmm. Ball was behind him.
Well,
you could possibly say
that he's maybe slowed down from that separation because of the way the trajectory of the ball when it was mm-hmm. coming. But, I know for sure that long ball, I just felt like he could have turned it on a little bit more. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if he has any in him or not, but a little extra burst towards that ball because I think the ball was thrown perfectly.
All right, who else from a receiving core standpoint Mike Thomas has been solid in the preseason, the games, after having an uninspiring training camp during the preseason games. He's been very solid.
I think today he was really outstanding. I mean, every ball that was thrown at him, he caught them all, even looked good on his returns. He looked like he was more like the number one guy today than any of the other wide receivers.
I think his role as the three is perfect for him. I think that's where he's best suited. That's where he had his best success, a couple of years ago. It looked like he was a guy who creates some mismatches, uses quickness, short space kind of stuff. I think that's perfect for him. Cecil Shorts, 3 catches, 37 yards today.
Yeah, but another fumble. It's a little bit of a question mark.
Not a
there.
Lost fumble, but a fumble.
Yeah, his strength with holding on to the ball. And that's a question mark now. Two fumbles in the preseason, that's not good. So he's going to have to – I don't see him having as big of a role, especially the way Elliott looked. Elliott has shown some toughness, out there on the special teams, knocking people off of the pile after runs and things of that nature, and the big catches. He comes up with the ball.
And that's one thing that I think, as we're learning what kind of players are Mike Mularkey type of players, a couple of things that you really like. Play smart, play tough. And I guess you can say that about every football coach, but playing physically, not allowing somebody else's effort to beat you, that's the kind of thing that's going to stand out for Mike Mularkey. That's why I think Kevin Elliott makes this team.
Yeah, and like I said, it's for every position. He's not saying, okay, wide receivers, you're just here to catch the ball. We want you to roll your sleeves up and hit somebody in the mouth. And to be honest with you, little Mike Thomas, he does that.
Yeah, we've got a conversation to have about the running backs. Let's take a break here, come back, talk about that, because part of that equation certainly is the guy who's not here, Maurice Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. You need a truck that works for you even when you're not working. The 2012 Silverado, the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup truck that fits your lifestyle. See your Southern Chevy dealer today, proud sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. This program brought to you by the Insurance Office of America, transforming the insurance industry to serve you better. More to come after the Jaguars finish the preseason with a record of 3-1. Back after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Jaguars win it 24-14, 3-1 in the preseason. Just in time for the Jaguars home opener on September 16th. I want you to check out the Seabest Cool Zone just outside the south end zone. It's a great place to cool off before, during, and after home games. You can watch the game, have refreshments, and when the weather gets colder, the cool zone becomes a hot zone. Refresh yourself at the Seabest Cool Zone in the south end zone at Everbank Field. Going to be a popular place on some of those hot days as we go down through the future in these games, particularly in the month of September. This is going to be a tough decision when you start talking about who stays at running back. I think we can all just, by acclamation, say that Rashad Jennings, Greg Jones, and Montel Owens are making this team, right?
Yeah, I think you'll stick a fork in that.
That one's done. So, with Maurice Jones-Drew not in the fold as it stands right now, Jalen Parmalee, Richard Murphy, Keith Toston. How many running backs can you keep? And who are they? Who are the guys you're going to keep?
Well, it looks like Jalen Parmalee did a good job to, say, hey, I'm probably one of the better guys for your job. And they gave him
well,
the most opportunities.
6 carries, 56 yards, had the touchdown.
But me personally, I have liked the work of Richard Murphy. I mean, I haven't seen every practice, but every time I've come out, he's always impressed me. I like his burst.
Good speed, yeah.
I mean, he finds the hole quickly and he hits it. But, of course, you got Romeo Crimmel. He's one of the best at it. So you feel more Romeo Crimmel, Sylvester Crooms. I'm tripping. Sylvester Crooms, one of the best at figuring out, knowing his you got to trust his judgment as it pertains to it. But I like Richard Murphy over Toston personally.
All right, so Parmalee, we think, has made it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, pending the final numbers, probably one or the other, Toston or Murphy, right? At this point,
I think it's one.
And that's
one
probably
or two.
That's probably the guy who's going to have to do something impressive in between the time that
the time is up now, buddy.
Well,
I'm
saying between the time that they make the team and whenever Maurice Jones-Drew shows up,
right?
Because if that if something along the way, all of a sudden you have we've seen this before where a guy is out because of an injury or a holdout or whatnot, and then the last guy on the roster at that position comes out and does something great, and it makes a difference. I think you're likely to see Parmalee used on kick returns.
You figure he gives you more. He's involved with the special team.
Yep.
Saw Murphy also return a kick.
Mm-hmm.
So, Toston drop a ball. you know, right in his hands. I like Murphy.
All right. See, those are some tough decisions that are going to have to be made. As far as the tight end is concerned, Mercedes Lewis is here. I think Zach Potter is here. You've got Zach Miller, who's hurt.
Yep.
And has had a history of having a hard time staying on the field. They really like the talent that he has and the capability. But, of course, availability supersedes ability, as Gene Smith has often been quoted as saying.
Did they put – I think they put – what was his name?
Veldman is on IR. Yeah, right. So it may come down to a decision about how, you know, how many guys do you need, how many spaces do you have, can you keep Zach Miller around when you have you know, a guy like Colin Clarity there as well, who's a similar style of tight end, pass-catching tight end.
Yeah, but Zach Miller, I think time is up. I think he'll be gone. He's one of the guys that, you know, that actually can play. He probably will find some space on another team, but it's just not his time, I don't think, right now with the Jaguars.
And remember, you can put him on IR, and he can be done for the year, and he doesn't count against your roster at that point. You can – not against the 53. You can put him on IR, and the league just announced today a new change in the rule. You can designate him as a short-term IR guy.
He got hurt during the preseason.
Right, so a six-week kind of situation. But you can only do that with one player, as I understand. I'm going to have to read more closely into this description of this rule, but it looks like you can only do that with one guy.
And I don't think he's that important.
So is he that guy? Is George Selvey that guy? Is Austin Lane that guy? You know, you look at some of the other guys who were dinged up a little bit. On the offensive line, the Jaguars, in terms of some depth, are going to have to find some place that you know who the starters are,
mm-hmm.
and then it's about, all right, who plays where.
Well, you know, Brewster just had a, you know, as a free agent, I mean, he's been very impressive coming in there playing the center in the day, jumping in at guard. Struggled a little bit because those guys were coming off their ball, knocking them back, but it's probably a foreign position for him. But I think they like him. He'll definitely be around. DJ Hall, maybe practice squad. I saw him on the ground entirely too much today, it seemed like, for a guy. Now, I guess the big question comes in between Whimper and Baldridge.
Yeah, and that may be one of those things that it's a one or the other. Baldridge certainly has the youth and the size. Whimper has the experience. Whimper can play right and left. Baldridge is more of a right tackle. Maybe can, you know, was rushed in to play some guard today. I'm not sure. He may be too tall to really project to play much guard. So, again, these are some of the decisions that the general manager is going to have to make when he starts trying to figure out who are going to be those final 53, and then who do you bring back on the practice squad? Who has practice squad eligibility? Because a guy like Guy Whimper does not have practice squad eligibility. So,
I'm sure they'll be burning the midnight oil with this one.
Yeah, it'll go, well, it'll be the 9 p.m. oil, because that's when it has to be in by tomorrow night at 9 p.m. So, all right, those are some of the decisions that I think are going to have to be made. We're going to take time out. When we come back, I want to talk about the rookies in particular, the draft picks, and a couple of undrafted guys, and what kind of an impact Marco thinks they'll make on the Jaguars this year. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. And remember, season tickets, group tickets, 5-game packs, and single-game seats are on sale right now. To go all in, call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after this timeout here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Visit Sonny's today. Try the new barbecue baskets, the slow-smoked pulled and sliced meats basket for $7.99, or for just a little more, choose between two other mouth-watering baskets. Sonny's, the first name in barbecue. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Let me get your feeling on what you've seen out of the rookies. We talked about Justin Blackmon. I think that's an A-plus rookie preseason for a wide receiver like Blackmon.
Yeah.
Andre Branch, defensive end.
Definitely has some work to do. I mean, I watch him. And
it's he plays a similar, not only the same position, but I think his game, his build, very similar to a young Marco Coleman coming
out
back in the early 90s.
He doesn't play with the same type of leverage. You know, that's one of the things I prided myself was being able to get under guys. Mm-hmm. And you see him standing straight-legged quite a bit. I think these preseason games, he kind of got away with it. But these teams are going to be pulling people around, and if you're standing up tall, you'll get knocked out of there, and there's going to be some heavies, but putting a lot of pressure on the linebackers. I think he's got some great potential as a pass rusher. Got those long arms. Mm-hmm. Plays with the motor that Cullen is looking for. But definitely, you know, I mean, he's got some work to do. I don't think he's as far along or that as superior a rookie. Definitely as Blackmon, you know.
So, right,
but,
sure.
But well, I think he's definitely fit to be a starter. you know, I really do think so. I think he'll definitely be a they're going to definitely need him because Austin Lane is out. You don't have anybody else.
and I mean, he's looked like a guy who you can plug in there. He's been better against the run than I think a lot of people were expecting when he was drafted.
Yeah, that would be my only knock is just he's just so straight-legged when he plays. But other than that, like I said, he's been stout. He's done well. I think he's played pretty good. Then you got those none of the linebackers have impressed me at all.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Brandon Marshall was a draft pick. The other guys, undrafted rookies like Joshua Jones and J.K. Schaefer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, those guys had, you know, I tell you, the other free agent that's looked good is Antoine Blake on the special teams.
Yeah, he's been terrific on special
teams. He's been showing up quite a bit, you know, at least on that defensive side of the ball. But then offensively, I mean, you got Elliott that stood out. I think when it comes down to the season, my prediction is that Shorts is going to be inactive and they're going to have Elliott out there because I saw the one of the kickoffs, first guy down there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he gets down there, he's going to make some plays. Then you can put him in there, I think, at wide receiver position and help you even more so than what Shorts could.
All right, so there's one rookie you've left out of this conversation.
Okay, which one is that?
Brian Anger, the punter.
Oh, man. How did I forget about the darn kicker?
Come on, the banger.
He's been doing good, man. You figure he's been pretty consistent. I think even for him, there's still some work to do as far as placing the ball in different spots like the special teams coach is asking them to do. But as far as a leg and booming it and, you know, if they're backed up, you don't have to worry about changing the field, baby. He's going to get that done.
Yeah, and
he's going to have a big impact.
He could have been one of those wow days for him today. He averaged about 53 yards a punt. Had he had a couple that were 52 instead of 53 mm-hmm. kind of things where, you know, get him down inside the 5-yard line. And that's it's great to go from your own 30 to, you know, kick it in the end zone. But if you can get it inside the 10, now all of a sudden that changes everything for your defense.
You just needed to get a guy down there on the coverage. Because a couple of times he had some kicks that bounced. They hit right there on about the 2 to 3 yard line, but nobody on the coverage team was actually around it to stop it. So those are actually really good kicks. They were placed where you want them to be, but the bounce just went into the end zone. He doesn't have a guy there to recover things.
One of the punts I think I saw 5.8. second hang time.
And that's what I mean.
I can get down and cover it, I think, in 5.8.
But I think, but you figure you're going to have Montel out there.
Yeah.
You're going to have, I think, Kelly Elliott is going to be very important.
Blake.
And then you're looking at, you know, Jones is going to be a big part of that. You got some guys on that special teams that didn't play that will be playing that when you get that 5.8 hang time and it hits on that 3-yard line, it's staying there.
All right. So those are the rookies. We'll come back to the Sexton summary is straight ahead. Bueller Swiss Watch Company. Proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars, Bueller Swiss Watch is available at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, the Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, the Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Treasures Fine Jewelers in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. After the Jaguars win it 24-14 over the Atlanta Falcons, Jaguars 3-1 in the preseason. Time now for the Metro's PCS Sexton Summary. The highlights and lowlights of tonight's game through the calls of the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Jaguars already trailed 7-0 when in the second quarter, guys trying to make some plays to earn a spot on the roster, and J.K. Schaefer did just that.
Here's play action, Davis deep, all kinds of time. Now pocket collapsing, turns and throws, and this one picked off! And there goes the linebacker, J.K. Schaefer.
Schaefer with the interception, and that would set up the Jaguars. Another guy trying to make the roster, Jalen Parmalee, a 21-yard run, down to the 14-yard line, and Parmalee said, hey, what the heck, give it to me again, I'll do the rest.
Up to near midfield. He stepped right in front of the target, took it away.
Parmalee with the run. Go to the next one there, Ed. I think that'll
Falcons
be.
Falcons adjust here. Hand off left side. Now Parmalee looks for a hole. He's got one. There it goes to the 5. Breaks a tackle. Run to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
He's had to call the audible here on the Sexton summary. Parmalee with a 14-yard touchdown tied the game at 7. Second half, Chad Henne in at quarterback, as he had been since the early stages of the second quarter. And a very impressive 4-play, 99-yard drive, 77 of it on one play.
Play action this time. Henning turns and fires, and he's got Elliott. He's across the 40-yard line. Breaks a tackle. There he goes. He's going all the way. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kevin Elliott.
And another guy trying to make the roster makes a play for the Jaguars. Jaguars led it 14-7 at that point. Next drive, Dominic Davis found Kevin Cohn on a 49-yard touchdown to tie it at 14. After Josh Gobe booted a field goal, the Jaguars mounted a 9-play, 70-yard drive and stretched a three-point lead into 10 with another running back trying to make his mark on this roster.
And here's Murphy, taking it right, going back left into the end zone for a Jacksonville touchdown.
Richard Murphy with the touchdown there. Jaguars defense closed it out with another play from a guy who was trying to make the roster, Antonio Denard with the interception. Jaguars win it 24-14. That was the Metro PCS Sexton summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. We're back to name the protector of the game and the coverage of the game. It's all straight ahead right here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Also still to come, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Stick around. More to come right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Winn-Dixie postgame show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Jaguars win it 24-14 over the Falcons. Finished the season, in the preseason rather, with a record of 3-1. Blaine Gabbert finishes the preseason with a quarterback rating of 94.9, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 36 of 59, 355 yards. Pretty good numbers all the way around there. And the Jaguars tonight, just two penalties. Pretty good numbers as well in the last game with a lot of guys trying to do it. And one of those penalties was Brad Meester double snapping it.
A little herky-jerky.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Meester's been in the league since, you know, before the leather helmets, and all of a sudden here was a guy in the preseason can do that. You don't expect that to happen too much. All right, time now to name the protector of the game. It's brought to you by the Insurance Office of America. Marco, what do you have?
Oh, Mr. Evan Britton. I mean, he was finishing cleaning people up all day. I think that start to the game kind of pissed him off because the rest of the time while he was in there, he was just driving cats into the ground. I'm going to have to go with Mr. EB.
All right. So Evan Britton is the protector of the game and the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, depend on us for life.
I think that the interception by J.K. Schaefer was pretty nice, man. The way he broke on that ball, took the ball away. That was probably one of the best coverage plays I saw all night.
Good linebacker move there
as
well.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that helped him out in what's going on.
All right, I'm also keeping an eye on Twitter here, and Ryan Robinson, Jaguars insider, getting some numbers out. 450 yards of offense on 72 plays for the Jaguars tonight. For the preseason, Rashad Jennings averaged 4.4 yards per carry. That's 47 carries for 209 yards. Mm-hmm. Pretty darn good. Mike Thomas leads the team in the preseason with 13 catches for 161 yards. So, you know, there are some things that you say it continues to baffle me. You know, we talked about this a little bit in the tailgate show. You've got Sports Illustrated picking the Jaguars to be a four-win team, two-win team, whatever it was. And 1-15 from ESPN, the magazine.
And that's almost, I mean, you've got to question their credibility. Are you really paying attention to what's going on? These guys prepared well in the preseason. I mean, you look at them throughout the whole preseason. They got better. They did the things that were right. And the biggest thing, like you said, the not killing themselves. If they don't do the things that set them back as far as with the turnovers and the penalties not killing themselves, it sounds like Mike Mularkey is really harping on those things, they're not doing it, they give themselves a good chance to win any games. It's hard enough to beat people when you're doing everything right. Then if you add on penalties and turnovers, it makes it that much more difficult. And these guys are doing the right things, and they've prepared in that direction.
You were at the luncheon yesterday, as I was, that the Jaguars and the city of Jacksonville, the chamber, held. And you heard Mike Mularkey say, we may not win every game, but with this group of guys, we'll give ourselves a chance every week.
And that's all you can ask for. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You got a couple. There's only a couple of teams in the league, period, that you feel like when they walk into the stadium, they got a good chance to win every game, not just be in every game. And everybody
talking about the Packers and the Patriots.
You know, maybe even you can probably throw Baltimore in there. But it's only a handful. Mm-hmm. It's only a few out of 32. So you got like those three, four teams that are super elite. You maybe got about another four that you can pretty much shoe in for postseason. And then, you know, you got about 10 to 12 teams, which I think you can throw the Jaguars right in there, that are bunched in there as to you don't want to see these guys week in and week out, because they're going to, you know, they're hard, they're a lunch pail guys, hard hats. You know, you don't mess with these cats, man.
All right, we'll take time out, come back with the good, the bad, and the ugly. This is the Winn-Dixie postgame show after the Jaguars wrap up the preseason with a 24-14 victory over the Falcons, right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. As the Winn-Dixie postgame show rolls on, I nominate Marco Coleman to deliver the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Countrymen, lend me your ears. Hey, man, and you know what's good about tonight? It's the last time we got to sit through a preseason game for 2012.
Great
that
job.
Is, oh, my goodness, this is it. The last preseason game has got to be the good thing. Bad is the way the Jaguars started this game out. You know, no energy. The Falcons came out with a lot more, you know, intensity. You know, you figure everything from the opening kickoff. No, a guy comes down scot-free. You got the offensive fumble. Then the defense, what? Gives up a touchdown. I mean, in sequence, I mean, in those you know, that order of plays was terrible. That wasn't good at all. Now, what's ugly is also between now and 9:30, the situation for so many guys, not just here but across the league, that their aspirations and dreams of becoming a professional football player may just end with this last preseason game. But for some, it's going to be a great new beginning. But for many, it's going to be a very, very ugly day. The Grim Reaper taps you on the shoulder.
The Turk will be a-coming. And I'm telling you, some tough decisions for Gene Smith. All right, here's how things lay out for the start of the regular season. The Jaguars will kick it off a week from Sunday, September the 9th, in Minnesota against the Vikings. And then the home opener against the Houston Texans on September the 16th. I also will point out here that two games in the month of September, that Houston Texans game and then Cincinnati are home games. The Cincinnati game on September 30th, that will be the day that Fred Taylor is inducted into the
pride of
the Jaguars.
Yeah, so he's a tough running back, man. I'll tell you, this dude was he was a special running back.
And a special guy, too. Yeah. So we'll look forward to that. That'll be a big thing. The month of September is going to be a big one for the Jaguars, and if they can emerge with a winning record after those four games, not only will they have won more games than Sports Illustrated and ESPN the magazine combined thought that they would win, but they'll be off to a good start.
Great start.
Certainly got a lot of work done in the preseason. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show is coming up next. That'll do it for us here on the network. Want to remind everybody, of course, that next week, Monday, the Mike Mularkey Show, a chance to hear from the head coach all across the Jaguars radio network. Jaguars finished 3-1 in the preseason. They have certainly laid the foundation for what's to come. Now the question, is there enough on the field, enough experience, enough talent, enough speed and passion to prove the naysayers wrong? This is a team that's being shoved aside and disregarded all across the country. But here in Jacksonville, Mike Mularkey has repeatedly said, let them talk. We know what's going on here with this team. Is what's going on with this team going to result in a winning record, in a playoff chase, in a surprise season? It all starts a week from Sunday when the regular season kicks off with the Jaguars against the Vikings. Stick around. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is coming up next here on Jaguars Radio.